Hi, Coach Val here. Thank you for taking time out with us. This is wonderful. I love this series. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, it might sound a little crazy. This series about choices and the choices we make today affect our lives tomorrow, and the choices we made yesterday affect our lives today. We've talked so much about the different choices to make. Today, I'm going to talk about what's more important, wisdom or gold. It's a great question because gold, man, that's coin, that's money, that's king, it's powerful. But I'm here to tell you what the Word of God says is that wisdom is actually more important than gold. Gold is good, but wisdom is better. So you kind of give up the good for the greater. And at some point you give up the great for the best. And learning to operate in a realm where we learn how to operate from the best version of ourselves, we kind of have to remove things in our lives to become that person. So remember what the Hebrew writer writes in chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, when he talks about we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses. Let us run with endurance. Let us run with strength. Let us run with stamina, the race that God has set before you. So you got to know that God puts a race in front of us. And as he puts the race in front of us, your race might not be my race because your talents might not be mine and vice versa. But we're to do certain things in common, even though we might be running a different race or a different leg in the race. I'm definitely not the anchor because I'm not the fastest. I probably would be the one keeping time, but that's okay. Whatever part of the race or the relay you're running, we all have different roles in life, but here's what's common. The way we approach it. And the Hebrew writer says, let us throw away anything, any weight that slows you down and any sin that trips you up. We do that by fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author, the perfecter. Another version says the champion of our faith who perfects our faith and initiates. He initiates and perfects our faith. So that's a wonderful thing and theme to live in. So as we start doing this, let's start figuring out what are the things we need to kind of put aside to do what God wants us to do? This is the last part of this series, and I hope you've been blessed by it. I want to thank all of you, I say this all the time, who want to learn and grow in Christ and get better. You're a disciple, and as you become a disciple of Christ, your life radically changes, and I thank you for wanting to better your life. I would ask you to continue to fund this ministry so we can go forward and continue giving this message to as many people that need to hear it. So I would ask you to go to mychurchsa.com. You can go there, and when you get there, you can look up top. There's a button to click on there. There's our PO box that you can send stuff to. You can even do stuff and give through text. So a lot of different ways to do it. But I hope God blesses you enough to do this, to get to the point where you kind of go, you know, Lord, you've called me to give, so I will give because you want me to be generous. Don't ever feel pressured to give. If the preacher is pressuring you to give, that's a tough thing. I pray that the Lord puts it in your heart to give and be generous. And that's what I pray, that if your gifting is generosity, then give freely and may you be blessed and may you bless many others. Because at the end of the day, what we do with our time, our talent, and our treasure really determines what we're to do with our life and give us direction and bless other people. So, four doors to choose from. There's three that look alike and one that looks different. Do we go down the path that everybody else goes down and opens the door and says, I want gold? Or do we choose that different door that's different and opposite of what everybody else chooses? And is it wisdom? Let me give you some questions as you get into your small groups. First one is this. What's your biggest fear? I love puppies, dogs. What is your biggest fear? Does your fear make you hide? Does it paralyze you? Does it minimize you? And here's an interesting question. Is there such a thing as a good fear? Boy, I love that question. There's so much I would want to answer about that, but it's a question for you guys. Here's a second question. Who's the wisest person that you know in your life? And what makes them wise? What is it that they're these sages? They're these wonderful individuals that, man, when they talk, everybody's like, shh, they're going to say something. Let's listen. You know, who's that person in your life? Because the more you listen to that person, the more they're just going to continually drop wisdom into your life that'll bless you. Can't wait for you to discuss that within your group. And the third and final question, which is kind of silly and funny, what makes a fool so dumb? Oh, man, have you ever heard this principle? You can't fix stupid. Because why? Because stupid doesn't listen. So as you start getting into that about what makes a fool so dumb, Name three things that they do that makes them foolish. Man, that's great. Today I'm going to give you four things that fools do to make them foolish and dumb, and it's biblical. So before I kind of give you those four characteristics, I'd love for you guys to get into groups and discuss it amongst each other. Or if you're mentoring one person, sit down with one person and mentor them and go, hey, what do you think about this? Where are you in this? Who do you know that's foolish, or where have you been foolish, and what decisions have you made that have affected not just you, but other people in your life? So it's a good question. Here's some quotes. I'll give you some quotes on the fear of the Lord. The first one, Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest, his wonderful book. Here's what he says. The remarkable thing about God is that when you fear God, you really fear nothing else. Whereas if you don't fear God, you ready for this? You fear everything else. Man, so that's interesting. If you fear God, everything else kind of goes off to the side and you're not paralyzed by anything else. But if you don't fear God, everything in the world is going to minimize you. I think that's a very interesting point for you to sit back and go, wow, where am I in that? Why? What does it mean to fear the Lord? I'm going to try to explain that to you today. Tozer says this, when men no longer fear God, they transgress his laws without any hesitation. The fear of consequence is no deterrent when the fear of the Lord is gone. So when you don't fear God, you don't fear any consequences. If you want to remove God, you think you're going to remove consequences? Let me tell you something, Chief. You're not going to remove the consequences. You jump out of a plane without a parachute, you're going to die. So you better respect gravity. Gravity will make you be very careful and cautious when you choose to do something up 100 feet in the air, 1,000 feet in the air, 20,000 feet in the air. You better respect and fear gravity, because you're not going to win. Truth number one, the fear of the Lord leads to wisdom. So as we get into this, I want to pause for a second and kind of help you understand okay, so there's the fear of the Lord, but there's wisdom. What is wisdom? I'm going to tell you. Have you ever been in a crossroads in your life when you're going to make a decision and you've lost sleep at night going, man, I don't know what I'm going to choose. I don't know where I'm going to go. Do I go this way and it's six one way and it's half a dozen the other? You know, do I marry this person? I like this person and I kind of love this person, but I've loved other people, but even more than this person, but I might have loved other people more than this person, but those other people that I loved more were actually wrong for me. And now there's someone that I love, but I'm I want to love, but I'm comparing my situation and my feelings for them as opposed to those back there where I love the wrong person. And here I might love the right person. What do I do? You ever had those crossroads? I know you have. Here's another one. Hey, you know, so what career do I choose? Do I take this job? Do I leave the job that I'm at where I've had a lot of success and I'm stable there and I'm going to be good the rest of my life here? Or do I take a chance in this job where potentially I could make more money, but I'm starting off back to square one where I'm over here, I'm in square five or six, or I'm at a higher tier at a higher level, but this job is getting stale while that one is attractive, but it's a little dangerous. I don't know which path to take. How about this one? Man, do we rent? Do we buy? If we buy, what house do we buy? Can I afford to buy a house? Do I just buy it because everyone else has it? I mean, it is crazy. So when you're dealing with those things, where do you go? What's your foundation where you're going to try to make a decision that's going to be life-changing? What do you do? Boy, money isn't going to help you in that situation. What's going to help you the most in that situation is wisdom. I came across a difficult decision where I had to make at one point where I got offered this wonderful job up in Duncanville to be the head basketball coach there. And a lot of you know this story, but I'm telling you, it was difficult to make a choice. Like, man, this is a great job. I'll make a lot more money. I have a lot more prestige, a lot more potential fame and potentially rise me up to coach collegiately. But in choosing and doing that, man, my family's going to have to get up and leave and move, and we're going to have to leave a place where we're comfortable and safe. And do we take our six children and move them to another town where there's man, it's just not going to get a lot of help. Roseanne's going to be stuck with the kids all the time, but I'll be having fame and success. Yeah, let's choose that. No, I don't want to choose success for me, but not for my wife. That was a tough decision. I had to walk away from a six-figure job because I sought wisdom instead of gold. And when I chose wisdom instead of fame or instead of gold or money or popularity, man, God blessed us when we chose wisdom. I'm going to tell you, when I go back to those four doors, I'm glad I didn't go down the three doors that everybody else would have chosen. I chose the door that no one else chose, and it ended up blessing my life. And we learn and we make mistakes, right? So we think we know what we're doing. We're going in the right direction, and all of a sudden, boom, something comes across us and we've got to have wisdom. I'm here to tell you that wisdom will take you much farther than coin or gold will. So as you get down into this, what is the fear of the Lord? What does that look like? Man, I'm going to get into that in just a second, but I'm going to tell you, this person who's on his knees and he's praying before the Lord, he's probably not seeking gold. He's seeking wisdom. So he's not foolish. He's very wise because he knows that the source of his strength is the Lord. So when you don't know what to do, wisdom says, don't do anything. When you don't have clarity, don't make a decision unless the Lord has blessed it or you've gone to him. So what does a fool do? Man, a fool doesn't seek the Lord at all. Look at what Proverbs 16:16 says. Wisdom is better than gold, and understanding is better than silver. I'd rather not do anything in chaos. I would rather wait for clarity before I make a decision. Because in my life, when I've made decisions because it's what I wanted, and I wanted it to be God's will, and I thought I could make God let me have this, I fell flat on my face many times. As I've developed wisdom and understanding, which is greater than gold or silver, I've learned to fear the Lord and seek wisdom. So I told you, I would give you four definitions or four things that fools do. Proverbs 13:16 says this, they have no plan, they have no direction, yet they brag about their foolishness. They have no plan, they have no direction. So what is that? Fools act before they think, or fools act without a plan. They act without direction. They act without vision. So wisdom says, have a plan, have a direction, have a vision, know where you're going, and then as you go there, follow that path, and don't go anywhere else, and don't brag about it. So a fool, I'm going to go back to that guy, a fool, what he does or she does is they don't even think about it. They're just going to go wherever they're going to go, and they're going to leave whenever they leave, and they have no plan and no direction, and they struggle. Here's another thing about fools. This is Proverbs 20:12, and it says this, they buy things they don't need. So it's interesting. Fools spend more than they earn. When you spend more money than you have, you're a fool. So a wise individual does this. A wise individual lives within their means. Oh, there's desires, there's wants, there's things we would love to have. But a wise individual knows that's not in my budget. I'm not going to live outside of my budget. I'm going to live within my budget. So I've said this many times. What do fools do? They do this. They buy things they don't need with money they don't have to impress people they don't like. That's an old Craig Rochelle thing that I love when he says that. It's powerful because a fool wants to do that. And what ends up happening is everything crashes and burns because you're living on a house of cards. Your house is living on sand. And when it gets bad, it's going to get destructive. So a wise individual lives within their means. A fool spends more than they earn. The third thing a fool does, a fool hurts the people that they love. They hurt the people that take care of them. They have no respect. They have no honor. They have no gratitude. They have no loyalty. They have no integrity. They don't care who they hurt, when they hurt. They don't appreciate people. They take advantage of people, and they end up hurting them. So that's what a fool does. While the opposite of a wise man is important. A wise individual appreciates and loves and honors and respects and takes care of the people who take care of them. We need more wisdom in our life. As I look back and reflect in my life, and as you look back and reflect in your life, who are the people who took care of you that you took advantage of, or that I took advantage of, or that I didn't appreciate, or that I didn't say thank you? I need to go back and thank them and go, hey, I was immature back then. I want you to know how much I really appreciate you. The fourth thing a fool does, they think they know it all. They're not going to listen to anybody. They want to be right instead of do right. It's all about a foolish ego and pride, and there's no humility within them at all. While a wise individual knows that they don't know it all, and they know that they want to become lifetime learners, and they know that they want to get better in their lives. So I'm going to go back to this first picture. When we choose foolishness, when we choose to think that we know it all, we're following down the doors that everyone else is doing it. When we turn around and we hurt people we love, that's what the fools in the rest of this world does. When we spend more money than we earn, we're doing what everybody else does. And when we have no vision and yet we still act and we're still loud and we're still brash, we're doing what everybody else does. But when you have a plan and you have a vision and you don't act without it, you're walking into the room of wisdom. When you live within your means, when you appreciate and are grateful for the people who have taken care of you, when you realize and recognize that you don't know it all, you are choosing wisdom and you're going through this door instead of the door that everybody else goes to. So I want to go back to this part of the fear of the Lord. So I talked a little bit about it earlier. When you fear the Lord, you know who he is. You know what he has done. You know what he's doing, and you know what he's capable of doing in your life. There's an old saying in the coaching world, don't poke the bear. Don't wake up the bear. Don't go against the bear. Don't do that, because you have to respect wildlife. You have to respect the bear, that at any time the bear can just go whap, whap, and you're done. And you think you can outrun the bear? They can run up to 25 miles an hour at 500 to 700 pounds. They're faster, they're quicker, they're stronger, and they're bigger than you are. Respect the bear. Let him sleep. Well, in the same way, like I said earlier, respect gravity when you're at 20,000 feet. Make sure you have a parachute and a backup parachute. Don't trust technology. Double check everything and make sure that it's right. Why? So you can survive the jump and so you can live. When you get to the Grand Canyon, it's great when you see a picture, but when you start getting near the Grand Canyon and start looking over the edge, you better respect the Grand Canyon and go, hey, I'm good right here. I trust that Grand Canyon has been there longer than I have. It is bigger, better, stronger than I am. So I am not going to play silly games of balance across that Grand Canyon or get near the edge. Respect what it is and what it can do in your life. It's the same thing with God. When you fear God, when you know he's bigger than you are, when you know he's smarter than you are, when you know he knows everything and he's everywhere and nothing can be hidden from him, then you start operating in a different way. If you do not fear the Lord, you are a fool. And you will not have wisdom. But those who fear the Lord and understand who he is, they know their place, they're going to be wise. They will operate differently than those that don't. It's so simple for us to understand this. If you look in the Bible, and if you start looking at all the people in the Bible, Isaiah saw God. The three apostles, Peter, James, and John, saw Jesus when he pulled off his flesh. When you see John in the book of Revelation, when you see Paul in the road to Damascus, every single one of these individuals, when they saw the Shekinah glory, when they saw the glory of God, every single one of them fell flat on their face. They covered their eyes and they were trembling and they were shaking. Why? Because they know who God is and what he's capable of doing, that God is holy and God is just, and he cannot let sin in front of him, and justice will prevail with the Lord. So when you look at yourself, oh, what a wretched man that I am. Oh, my lips are full of sin and tainted with sin. I mean, they covered their faces. That's respecting God, and that is fearing God. And when you understand that, you'll live differently, walk differently, think differently, and you'll live for His glory. Watch what Proverbs says. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. It's in blue because it's a truth. Now, the rest will be in green. That's going to be a promise. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. So when you have knowledge of who God is, you're going to have good judgment. And as you have good judgment, you're going to make good decisions and you're going to live a good life. Watch the promise. Wisdom will multiply. Whoa. Hold on. Wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. That is one of the 7,000 promises. Over 7,000 promises in the Bible. This is a promise. It will multiply your days and it will add years to your life when you fear the Lord. Look at verse 12. If you become wise, here's another promise, you will be the one to benefit. But if you scorn wisdom, which is what a fool does, you will be the one to suffer. What's the coaching point? What's the 30-second timeout? At the end of the day, you're responsible for the choices you make by choosing to accept wisdom or run away from wisdom. And the foundation of wisdom is fearing God and respecting God and honoring God and knowing who He is. You could have a gajillion dollars, but if you do not fear the Lord, you're a fool. You can have houses all over the world and all these cars and have all this fame, but if you do not fear the Lord, you're an idiot. Don't believe me. Believe something that's been around for thousands of years. Godly wisdom. Albert Barnes says this, there's nothing more foolish than an act of wickedness. And there is no wisdom equal to that of obedience or obeying God. Packer says this, J.I. Packer says, we cannot have divine wisdom until we become humble and until we become teachable. Standing in awe of God's holiness and God's sovereignty, big word, which means His authority and power. We must acknowledge our own littleness, distrust our own thoughts, and have our minds turned upside down. Now, let me get a timeout on that. I really want to emphasize these three things. Wisdom starts when you acknowledge that you're not that big and you're not that good. Which means move your pride out of the way. Second thing, wisdom happens when you start distrusting your thoughts and your feelings. Don't buy into your thoughts and don't buy into your feelings. Well, coach, then what thoughts and what feelings am I supposed to buy into? Go read the Word of God. Go find the truth in the Word of God. Go find His promises. Go find His commands, and you'll have maturity, you'll have clarity, and you'll have security. And as you start learning the Word of God, and you start meditating on the Word of God, and you start memorizing His Word, and you start teaching it like you're learning it, what's going to start happening is you're not going to trust your thoughts and you're going to trust the truth of God. Wisdom occurs when you replace your personal truth with God's absolute truth. And the final thing, let Him turn you upside down, inside out. Let God change you. How does God change us? By changing the way that we think, by renewing our mind. Great stuff. Truth number two, wisdom is given to those who ask for it. We're going to read that in James in just a second. But do you understand? I love this man, and he's got the Bible, which looks like the Bible, right? And he's looking up into the heavens, and he's in a mountaintop. So was that Moses? I don't know. But I love this image, because this is where we all need to be, to look up to the heavens and seek the Word of God. And I'll go back to the same thing. Let's go back to understanding how little we are, not trusting our thoughts and our feelings, and letting the Lord turn us upside down and inside out so He can make us new and make us different and make us that new creation that we're meant to be in Christ. I'm telling you, that is the place to be, because I want you to know, Jesus says, I will build my church. And when Jesus says, I will build my church, He's not referring to mortar and brick in a building. He's referring to souls and spirits. God wants to build you. And the only way God is going to build you is by you allowing Him to download His wisdom, His words, His thoughts, His culture, His commands, His ways into your life. And as that starts to occur, there's something totally different that occurs within you. When you let the Holy Spirit guide you, because that's when you have Christ, the Holy Spirit is, hey, talking to you all the time. And when you start feeding off of His fruit, which is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control, when you operate from the fruit of the Spirit instead of the wickedness of your flesh, when you stop trusting your thoughts and your feelings and you recognize your littleness and you let them turn you inside out, you're going to be a better husband, a spouse, a better wife, a better mom, a better dad, because you're choosing wisdom. Hey, gold is good. It's good to have money, but wisdom, it's a lot better. Let's read what the scriptures say. Promise. This is another promise, right? Which gives us security. Watch. If you need wisdom, ask our generous, generous God. God is generous. And He will give it to you. The blue is a promise that builds your maturity. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Look, the red is a command which brings clarity. Do not waver. I love it. Stand firm. Stay committed all the way to the end. Be all in. Finish the race. Fight the fight. Keep your faith. Don't waver. I love it. A lot of coaching points there. That helps us. Go back to the blue. It is a truth that builds our maturity. For a person with a divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Wisdom will not let you be tossed by the wind. Wisdom is that anchor that holds you down when the storm is unsettling and you're in a place of instability. Man, that wisdom will anchor you down and keep you strong. That is my prayer for you. That's why we do this series. That's why we want you to make the right choices. Good is okay, but better's a whole lot better. Greater's better than good. Let's talk about teachers. I'm a teacher and I'm a coach and I'm a mentor and I love it. All right, William Ward says, the mediocre teacher tells, the good teacher explains, the superior teacher demonstrates, and the great teacher inspires. W.E. Du Bois says this, people learn more from what you are than from what you teach or from what you say. Maria Montessori says this, the greatest sign of success for a teacher is for the teacher to be able to say the students are not working, or they are working as if I don't exist. I love that as a coach. And Henry Adams says this, a teacher affects eternity. He can never tell where his influence stops. Truth number three. This is how you get wisdom. You fear the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom. You ask for wisdom and then you seek teachers. You seek people that are wise. And so you want to be around people. And I've learned this. I want to be around people that are smarter than I am, that are wiser than I am, that can teach me something. My dad told me only hang around two types of people, the people that you can learn from and the people that are willing to be taught from you. And I said, Dad, what about those people that don't? He says, you're wasting your time with them. They're going to complain. They're going to cry. They're going to be upset about something. They're never going to be happy. Those people, they don't want to get better. They're just bitter. I'm like, wow. So find people who can mentor you, who can coach you, who can teach you, and find the people that want to be coached and mentored and taught by you. Yeah, that's pretty good. He says, I know. I said, did you come up with that? He says, no, I'm not smart enough. I loved it. But it's a good point, right? So start looking in your life and go, who do you want? Look at the people in your life that you consider wise. Think about that person who you said, this is the wisest person I know, and this is why. Look at those people and the person whose life you want to have their life, their peace, their wisdom, their joy, their gratefulness, their gratitude, all of that, hang around them. And ask them, hey, what is it that you do? What is it that you eat? When you wake up, what do you think? What are the three things you do every day that keep you and help you to be the person that you are? So if I am on a scale from 1 to 10, if I'm a 5, I want to hang around people that are 10. I know that when I walk into the room and I'm the smartest person in that room, I'm in the wrong room unless I'm going to teach. I want to be in the room where everybody's a 10 and I'm a 5. And I've kind of, sad to say, I feel like an idiot. It's like, golly, man, I'm not very smart here. I thought I was smart when I went into that room. But in this room, I feel like a knucklehead. I feel like the Three Stooges. I feel like those guys. I feel like Curly. What am I doing here? That's the place you need to be. Because when you start learning how that other half lives, those that are wiser than you are, when you hang around them and you let them coach you and teach you, you're going to grow and learn a whole lot. I'm 57 right now. I was probably 27. Man, that's 30 years ago. When I was 27, I took a group of players and I went to the University of Kansas and I took my players to the camp, the basketball camp of Kansas. And I wanted to learn what Roy Williams, who was the head coach at that time there. Now he's a head coach in North Carolina, but I wanted to learn what he did. And I've got a Duke jersey shirt, but that's okay. I wanted to learn what he did. And I asked, everyone else was playing golf with all of the coaches, and I asked their coaching staff, hey, do you mind if I look at your game film? I'm like, what do you want to look at game film? I want to see what you guys run against a zone, against man. Just coach jargon, right? So I looked at film and I started writing notes down, and then I finished. It took me about 2 days to look at all their game film. And then once I finished, one of the coaches says, Coach, what are you going to do with that? I says, well, I wrote down a lot of stuff and I have a couple of questions. Do you mind if I ask you guys some questions? And they said, sure. So I started asking some questions to their assistant coaches. And then lo and behold, Roy Williams walks in and says, what are you doing, Coach? So I'm just asking him questions when I looked at your film, and he says, let me see your paper. And he saw all the questions and all the diagrams, and he says, hey, why don't you ask me? I'm like, well, sure. I spent 2 hours with Roy Williams as he was showing me all the things that he did. He had something I wanted. He would look at a game the way I didn't, and I wanted to learn from him, and I did. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I felt like a 1. 10 being the highest, I felt like a 1. But what that mentor did, what Roy Williams did, is he took me from a 1 and he moved me up to a 2 or moved me up to a 3, whatever number you want to use. This is when you realize that you're a fool. If you're a 5 and you don't want to get any better, but you want to feel like a 5, you hang around people that are 1s. And all of a sudden you feel like a 10. But you never got any better because nobody ever mentored you. You were in the wrong room. You're the one that's the smartest, but you're not really teaching anybody anything. You're in that room just to feel good. A fool stays in that room, while a wise individual wants to go to someone who knows more than they do. Proverbs 13:20 says this, walk with the wise, truth, and become wise. Associate with fools, you're going to get in trouble. And you get in trouble. Those are promises. So as you walk up the stairs and as you walk out of your house every day, who's mentoring you? And that's kind of the next questions, and we'll be done. Who is mentoring and who's coaching you? And why do you think we don't have mentors in this world? Why aren't there enough mentors? Man, we connect with each other and we do so many things, but we don't seek mentorship or coaching. My prayer is that you find someone, because the Bible says you're going to gain wisdom when you fear the Lord, when you ask for it, and you find wise teachers. And the final question is this, what area of your life needs more wisdom? And what are you doing to get it? I want to let you know I really enjoyed this series. I pray that as you make choices in your life, I pray that you understand that it's good to choose good things. But I would pray that you choose things that are better. Father, I pray for us, and I pray for everyone watching this, that you bless them and help them to understand the beauty of wisdom, that I would rather have wisdom. Oh, I'd rather have one day in your house, Father, than 1,000. I'd rather have tranquility, one hand of tranquility instead of 2 hands of turmoil. Lord, at the end of the day, these are the things that we chase, and we recognize that the things that we're chasing are not the things that you have for us. I pray that you give us clarity through your commands. I pray that you give us maturity through your truth. And I pray that you give us security through your promises. I pray that in Jesus' name. I always end this because I firmly believe this. Make the decision to love yourself by always fighting the good fight, by finishing the race, and by keeping your faith.